Blog Talk Radio.
Well, 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 we have got a show today. Quite a bit going on. Quite a bit going on in the world of basketball. Nothing could be better, if you ask me. Plenty to talk about. And what could be better than to talk about with a guy who really knows what's going on in the Portland, Oregon, Willamette Valley, the entire state of Oregon. And by that, I would mean Greg Crawford, my good friend from the south of Washington. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing very good. You know what? My parents were both from Washington, so I'm fine being on with the Washingtonian.
That's fine with me, too, being on with an Oregonian, because I've never had a bad time in Portland in my entire life, or and have worked in Oregon many years, and love the place. It's incredible. And excited about the basketball programs down there, too, that you follow. And I know that you go follow the high school thing. You follow all the college divisions and the junior college scene and all that stuff, which is real fun and exciting to watch, as I know you enjoy that from your coverage. And tell us a little bit about what you've been up to lately.
Well, I've got a lot of things going on. Of course, we have our management company, Kiyokawa Crawford, and I've just started, Jim, one thing your listeners might really be interested in. Every Sunday, I will, during the week, I have other information out, but every Sunday, anyone can subscribe to my brand new Crawford Sports Business newsletter, and I email it out on Sundays at some point, and it's got a lot of great information about sports business, which is a popular topic, and if they just go and get a piece of biz, that's Crawford, and then sports biz, that's all one word, Crawford Sports Biz at gmail.com, and put yes in the subject line, they can get it absolutely free. There never will be a charge, which is pretty good to that nowadays.
That is really good nowadays, and it sounds to me like you got, you know, a lot of quality information from your knowledge of, I know that you don't really venture an opinion or any sort of facts until you've really researched them, and I really appreciate that you do good work. So I would recommend that to all my listeners. So getting back to what's going on right now, the Oregon Ducks and Oregon State Beavers are up playing the Washington schools right now in the Pac-12. And, of course, Oregon State and Washington settled their thing, and now they're actually split for the season. You know, Oregon State beat the Huskies down there on their floor in Corvallis on a buzzer beater by Stephen Thompson Jr. And then this time around, Dwayne Tinkle hit a buzzer beater from even further out, but it was too late and ended up being a 2-point win for the Huskies in Seattle. And now Oregon State's going to travel to play against the Cougars, who just beat the Ducks, fresh off beating Arizona at home in a really, really impressive win. We thought that after that game that, hey, the Ducks are back. It's just true to form for Dana Altman, and he's got these guys ready to wind right into the NCAA tournament, where they're going to be much better than they've even been all year long, and who knows what could happen. And then they hit a snag and lose to the Cougars, who were struggling bottom of the league team. And it just shows how powerful and balanced this league is. And then the Huskies, of course, beat Oregon State, and they're gunning at ten and seven right now. They're tied with five other teams for third place in this conference, and they could be anywhere from third to seventh seeded in this tournament. And Oregon is 9-8, and they, by winning, beating the Huskies, could be right in the mix with that as well, and have a tiebreaker over Washington, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and others. So it's going to be nothing but fun to watch this thing. What do you think, starting off with this Oregon-Washington game, what are some of the keys for you, and how are you feeling about those Ducks right now?
Fading loss to Washington State. With all due respect to Washington State, it's a game that Oregon should have won. I think it probably, I agree with a lot of other people, Jim, I think it probably took them out of the NCAA picture. Although people love to you know, in NCAA basketball. And I think everybody always says, well, it's because of Nike. I think that has a little bit to do with it, but I think you would agree also, being a historian, in Oregon won the first ever NCAA championship, the Tall First, in 1939. Now, somebody might say, oh, 1939, this is 2018, but that is significant when it comes to history, and that's what that committee likes. So with that being said, I think it's a must-win today for the Ducks. They have to beat Washington. They even have a slight chance. The door cracked, barely open to get in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I think so. I think that they have to beat Washington in order to have a chance. And then they've really got to perform well, as they have, mind you, for a number of years now with Dana Altman in the Pac-12 tournament. And getting back to your statement about Oregon and the tradition there, you absolutely don't need to twist my arm to really appreciate the legacy of Oregon Duck basketball. I go all the way back to the, you know, the Stan Love era, the, you know, and slightly prior to that. I remember the great Dick Carter teams. I remember just all the Don Munson teams and just all the great players that came through there. And I mean, it was just nothing but fun watching those guys fight and battle. And they were just one of the top teams in the conference, you know, decades for decades. And it was always fun to watch them. And I'm glad to see that they're succeeding now for the sake of their fans. You know, but the key thing is with this year's team, they have a bunch of guys talent wise. If you look at that roster, you know, I mean, you got to look at that roster and say, my goodness, they've got talent. What is it about this group maybe that's been a little harder for Coach Altman to really put together solid, you know, just solid performance as a team, maybe as in, you know, more so than he has in recent years?
Jim, I think it'd be one thing, although you and I both know in basketball, it's a multitude of things why teams don't succeed when you think they should. But this team, it appears to me, watching them in person and on TV a lot, they're not as quick as previous Altman teams. And somebody might say, well, what difference does that make? Well, with his style of play and the offense he runs, it makes a huge difference. It was before those teams could beat a lot of players one-on-one off the dribble. They could beat somebody off a cut to the hoop. They could play defense, get in front of them. I think every year they led the conference in taking charges, and I don't think this team is nearly as quick.
Yeah, you know, they got some great wins, you know, over the course of the season. Again, beating Arizona at home, beating Arizona State, then, you know, right before that. You know, they've had some really marquee wins, beat UCLA. You know, they swept Arizona State this season. You know, they had some decent wins in non-conference, especially towards the end. They basically ended their non-conference season with, I think it was, five straight wins. And, you know, they really aren't a team that has a wonderful NCAA resume. So it's kind of, the pressure's kind of on for them to, but a decent one, if they were to go through and maybe get to that championship game in the Pac-12 tournament. And I think that's entirely possible. You know, and when you look at Oregon, you know, here they are, you know, bemoaning the fact that they might not make the NCAA tournament this year, and they might have to go and win, you know, three games or something like that in the Pac-12 tournament to be able to get in this year for the first time in quite a while. Then you look at that recruiting class that they have signed for next year, and it's just, you know, and practically everybody back. I do have a couple of seniors on this year's team, but it's going to be a complete powerhouse Oregon Duck team next year, at least from the standpoint of material to work with. And quickness ought not to be that as much of a problem, probably, with when you figure adding some of the new talent and whatever else then can tie together. So it seems like Oregon is really in really great. The health of that program is certainly not in any major question at this point. Would you say that's fair to assess?
I think that's very fair, more than fair. I think next year, you better get them this year if you're going to get Oregon, because next year they are going to be loaded. They're right now would be a top five team in the country, I think, next year.
Yep.
And I think that they definitely have a chance to return to the NCAA tournament. And you bring up a good point. Oregon is a team that can get hot at times, and especially the players that they have, and they could go a long ways in the Pac-12 tournament. I don't think they can win it, but you know what? They're in as good a shape, you know, 90% of the teams in the league to have a chance to go on and win it. But next year, Jim, you're right. They're going to be so good. Oh my God. That is that's going to be unbelievable. Maybe everybody got ahead of themselves and started looking at next year.
I think that could possibly be, because it's unreal what they've got going on with Bol Bol, who's probably I don't know if he is or isn't, but some people are saying he could be the DeAndre Ayton of next year in college basketball. And then of course, just a number of other guys, Lewis King, Miles Norris, and the list goes on. And then they get everybody back from this year's team, except for Elijah Brown, who's had a nice solid senior season. And then another transfer guy, Mikhail McIntosh, who'll be gone, and Roman Sorkin, who's been a rotation guy that's mostly come off the bench. But then you bring in this all-star team as a recruiting class to every single player coming back. And I think when you look at the Washington Huskies, every single player coming back is legitimate advantage when you're a basketball team in the Pac-12. I mean, they had a horrible year last year with a lot of bad breaks and injuries and just things just going wrong right and left. But everybody stuck together and grew older a year together and was hungry and worked hard in the offseason and dealt realistically and soberly with their shortcomings individually and as a team, and now you're looking at a team that's right, in the thick of the conference race, with Washington after only 1 year, after being 2-16 or whatever they were. So I think Oregon is legitimately a top five team next year if all goes well. So getting back to what happened with Oregon State, I mean, we can kind of look at that situation and say, this was a team that lost their starting point guard, Ja'Cory McLaughlin, and kind of looked kind of shaky early on, but they've really been fairly respectable looking over these past few weeks. Maybe they don't have as many wins to show for it, but they've really looked good. That defense and just those bigs becoming more mature, and they've got some really nice young guards, obviously, coming up. What's your take on Oregon State moving on here?
Yeah, I think that you made a good point there, that they got some good mix of young and experienced players, and I think they have played pretty well. I kind of thought they would be a tad bit better than they are. But it seems like they've kind of hit their stride now, and a pretty good basketball team. I expect them to defeat Washington State, and I don't know what's going to happen from then on out. I think they might possibly be a potential NIT team, which has gotten to be a huge event in itself, actually, and it's not that bad to go to it. They're going to keep improving. I think Tinkle's a pretty good coach. I think it was quite an adjustment for him to come from the Big Sky to the Pac-12, and it's an adjustment recruiting wise. And I love the Big Sky. It's one of my favorite leagues of all time. But let's face it, the players in the Big Sky are much lower level than the people in the Pac-12, and you've got to recruit that way. And it's not so much you can mold guys. They got to be ready to go when they arrive.
Yeah, that's really true. Well, you look at his team, and the best player on his team, I think, you know, if, from my standpoint, if I had to pick one there, I mean, obviously there's everybody has good qualities there. But I think that Trey Tinkle is just an amazing basketball player, young basketball player. He's a sophomore, a redshirt sophomore, and he's certainly showed himself to be a real weapon in this league. And I think a guy that has the kind of height and general knowledge of the game that will, you know, he should be a professional basketball player of pretty high level and down the road. And then, of course, Steven and Ethan Thompson, the other two coaches' sons on the team, have shown a lot. Steven, now the junior, has really, you know, obviously had a proven track record. And then his younger brother's shown a lot of promise. And then of course, the other guy that everyone's talking about is Drew Eubanks. And, boy, hasn't he really improved?
Yeah, he has really improved. I saw him play in high school quite a bit at Reynolds High School here outside of Portland. And I didn't quite know how he would be. I was really kind of torn whether he was going to be great, average, below average, and I think he's starting to pick it up. And, you know, I mean, as you know, Jim, and all of our great listeners that are basketball fans, oftentimes big guys are much slower to develop. But when they develop, wow, look out.
Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely. You know, they've got some good minutes out of Seth Berger, who's a senior from Ballard High School up here in Seattle. He's been a nice, solid puzzle piece for them this year, you know, but they are trying to find guys to, you know, to really fill out this rotation, and they're just known as a team that just is basically Drew Eubanks and three coaches' kids, sort of, and then a bunch of other guys that no one really has noticed that much, and that's got to change. They got to develop more depth, and they've got to bring in some more playmakers, but this young guy from this junior from Serbia, Montenegro, they call him G. I have a hard time pronouncing his name. Rekezovic he's a good, solid post player. Boy, he sure looked good against UW, and he's a good, solid, heady guy that can really create space in the middle and control the paint. What's been your impression of him?
Oh, I think he's very good. I think he's a guy that, you know, one of the problems that I think has been is defining the minutes for him, but I think that's starting to develop more. And, you know, he's got to gain his confidence, because sometimes he comes in and he just is kind of a disaster. That might be too strong a word. And sometimes he comes in,
I don't know if it is,
and he plays like an NBA superstar. So he's got to get more confidence is the thing with him. But you're right. He's a player, and he's going to continue to develop. And I think a lot of people probably missed the boat on him. And good job at Oregon State picking him up.
Yeah, he's really, like you said, it takes longer for big guys, but I saw a lot of really good things from him in that Washington game. He did what he was told to do. They had a certain game plan of trying to get the ball into the bigs in the middle with that zone. And he performed very well when he was called on. I was very impressed with what he did there. But you know, his averages this year don't reflect the role that he showed in that game. So he's one for the future. Alfred Hollins is another guy that has had some good productivity this year. They need to bring in some more players, that's for sure. And I'm not sure. What do you know about their recruiting? Is help on the way?
You know, I haven't totally been impressed with their recruiting, but it seems like they're always a little slower, as you know, Jim, to get people on board. But Tinkle's got a great personality. He's got a great staff there. He's got an unbelievable staff, Gottlieb and Thompson and those people. And I have not seen anything that jumps out at me with their recruiting. But yet, once again, Oregon State is a situation where they bring in guys and they develop them. rather than maybe a Husky program or Oregon where they better be developed when they get there.
Yeah, sure. I get your, I totally get your drift there. Yeah, definitely they're not Kentucky, that's for sure. But Jack Wilson is the guy, and that the only guy they have right now and committed, and I believe he is, I don't know if he's signed, but he's committed. He's a four-star, according to ESPN, center, a 6'11 kid from Junipero Serra down in California. So it's he's gonna be a player that you know they're gonna continue to build up their front court with probably. Seems like
and
a Pac-12 level recruit.
I've watched him on tape only, and he's pretty good. He's gonna be an asset for them defensively, I think. It's so amazing, and I hate to keep bringing this point up, but you don't know what you're getting with a big guy. You know, it's like Morrison that played at Portland State, as you know, from Canada in the early 2000s. He started out, and everyone says, oh, this guy, what did we get? This guy, his junior and senior year, he was unstoppable. He was terrific. So you just never know.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, it's really hard with big guys, and you just never do know. And a lot of times, a lot of people judge stuff on the way kids, look physically and all that stuff. And there's a lot more to it than that, But you did mention Portland State, and that's another team that I wanted to hit on with you, because I know you've really done a great job of covering them and still do. And tell me what happened with them. They were just a house of fire in the non-conference season, and gave Duke a run for their money, and just had a tremendous non-conference slate, and were looking to, like they were going to really challenge in the Big Sky, in a real tough Big Sky, mind you. And I think it just kind of shows how tough that league is, that they've kind of struggled. But then again, it's Barrett Perry's first year, so it's kind of to be expected. But we thought, based on non-conference, they were just going to kill everybody.
Yeah, and they have a unique style, Jim, and I think it mostly good in that they, it's a style you just don't see that much in basketball anymore. Of just it's the old Nolan Richardson. I forget what they called that at Arkansas.
40 minutes
yeah,
of foul.
Yeah, exactly. you got it. And that's kind of what Portland State is. And then you got to consider that I don't know what happened here, but their leading scorer, North, was off the team in January to come back. And I'm sure that had a big effect on them. But, they've been real, it's safe to say, they've been real inconsistent, and that's not good going into tournament time. Now they've got a game today that I'm going to go to in North Dakota, and we'll see how they do. They should win that game easily. North Dakota is terrible, but we'll see. I thought they would beat Northern Colorado the other night, and that was a top-notch game between two top-tier teams. And they didn't. Mm-hmm. They did. They lost at home. And you got to win your home games in the Big Sky.
Yeah, really. Well, this Big Sky, I'm really glad to have you on the line about this Big Sky, because I've become a huge fan over time now. I've become real tight with a number of these programs and keeping up with what's going on with them. Montana is just an unbelievable story, what Travis has done there. And obviously they've got a great tradition there. And he's just one of a long line of really successful coaches that coach there. But they've got a really strong program going right now, and they're dominating the league. They're up on everybody. But there's other good teams too. I mean, Idaho's looking great with that real senior team, and they've got some pretty good recruiting coming up their way, so they're going to still be okay in the future. And then Eastern Washington and Shante's first year has really just done incredibly well. I'm so proud of what they've been able to accomplish. And of course, Weber State is a traditional power, and they're hanging around in there as well. But they've kind of had a hard time holding on to that mantle with all these other teams just kicking it out. But I look at Portland State and I think to myself, you know, if anybody can go out and find players, it's for a team like Portland State, it's Barrett Peary, you know, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, his top assistant there, Jace Coburn, is a good friend of mine, a heck of a recruiter. And, you know, the other thing that we would be remiss, Jim, in not saying, and I know you'll probably be down for the opening, Viking Pavilion. I think it's going to
feed
about 3,400. It's going to open next fall on campus, right on campus, downtown Portland, which, you know, a lot of people say, well, but that has a real plus. You can get to
it
by MAC right at the front door. It's going to be pretty spectacular. So we'll see what happens next year. They, you know, I really think Portland State has the potential at some point, and I say this for a long time. Tyler did a great job there, Gevin, by the way.
He did
a fabulous job. Ken Bone. But it's got the potential to be a juggernaut in that league. And, you know, don't forget about that league, and I know you don't. A guy that doesn't get mentioned, but I think is one of the best coaches in that entire league, is Bill Evans at Idaho State.
He's working hard down there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know whether anybody's ever been to Pocatello.
I have.
I love Idaho. We love it. We love the state of Idaho. It's gorgeous. It's got a lot to offer. But it's tough to recruit to Pocatello, let's face it. And he's done a great job this year. I think they're at 500, and they've been in most games. And I really admire that.
You know, Pocatello is – people think of it as being just the middle of nowhere. But, you know, it's fairly near Salt Lake City. It's also fairly near one of the most gorgeous and most wealthy areas in the entire – the wealthiest county in the entire United States there, Teton County up there in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and all that – just all the tremendous you know, activities in that region. So it's not like it is kind of in the middle of sort of just a farming area, but there's a lot of things to do within a reasonable driving distance of Pocatello. It's kind of a glamorous place, if you ask me, really. But
very
so
good.
They
need you more speaking for them on your behalf, but I'll take it a step further on the negative side. There's no real basketball culture in Idaho State. Maybe
that's
a better way to put it.
You know. That's true. That's absolutely true. That's the challenge that Coach Evans is facing, and he's doing a good job. He's consistently putting together good games and good teams, and you know, my hat's off to what he's been able to do. And he's scratching out a place in that conference. And Montana State too also has really stepped up, and they're starting to build some more respect for the basketball program there too. So there's a bunch of teams in that conference that are really interesting. Now, getting on to the other team I wanted to discuss today, if we have time, is the Portland Pilots, and they've had kind of a you know, it's been kind of a rough year in a sense, but that conference is so tough. You know, I mean, what's your take on the way that he's building that team right now? He's got his one of his sons is he's got two sons in, and they're both in the top six players statistically on the team. He's got Marcus Shaver leading the team in scoring. You know, and they're doing okay in a league that obviously is really dominated by Gonzaga and St. Mary's and BYU. But what's your take on the way that's coming around?
You know, very good setting up the question for usual, Jimmy. You mentioned a player that he's my favorite player to watch this year, Marcus Shaver. He's almost too quick for the at times. And, you know, I think they're going to lose Hartwich, Phil Hartwich. They're going to lose DeMarcus Tyson. That's going to be a couple big losses, but they've got a nice young team. Smoyers has got to step up. He's got to have a big time summer. They're 6'11" kid out of Franklin High School in Portland. He'll be a junior next year. He has got to play better. They've got the kid that's redshirt, apparently, in talking to people, might be the best of all, Jim, there. Mm. And I think that they've got nice young team. It once again, do you jump over people? And then I guess nowadays, as you and I follow it, you got to think, will the Zags and BYU be in the league next year?
There you go. That's another thing.
Gaining momentum.
That might be the best thing ever, though, for Seattle U, who you got to – I know you love Jim Hayford and what he's done there. Wouldn't that be great if – I mean, I don't mean to put down the whack, but I think it's maybe a little bit better natural fit for Seattle U to be in that WCC.
Yeah, and I think you bring in – if those two teams leave, you take Seattle and you bring in Grand Canyon, which
there
is
you go.
A fabulous school, and then you have it – you've lost. It's definitely a negative, but on the other hand, you're getting a couple high-quality institutions that could really help the league and have great basketball programs.
And you still have a real dominant program nationally with St. Mary's to try to knock off, but it's not quite as daunting as Gonzaga. And you've got a bunch of teams like USD, and others who have really shown some real promise. It was real sad to see what happened with Lamont Smith down at USD. He was a assistant up at Washington, and obviously things happen to people, and that was real tragic what happened there. At least just because of the story and the publicity, we'll see what happens when it comes to the actual facts. But I mean, it's just that was a team that was really putting it together this year down there at USD.
Yeah, definitely they had a fantastic year. San Francisco really came on. Mike Dunlap is as good a coach as there is in the league. I just
no
don't
kidding.
Know tradition there for the most part. It's just a tough league. It's not a league, Jim, where you can just get better. It's a league where you got to jump over people. And
right.
I guess the one thing that disappoints me is the lack of fan support with the Pilots. It really hasn't increased with Terry Porter. I thought it would. Winning has a lot to do with that, obviously, but there is no excuse not to go out to Child Center, which is gorgeous. One of the most famous people of all time in the world opened the Child Center, Ronald Reagan. It's got a lot of history.
That's right.
But the crowds are down. I don't even think they sold out the Gonzaga game this year, which is terribly sad.
Yeah, it is really sad. But on the other side of it, it seems to me like they're behind Porter for the long haul. And like I said, Marcus Shaver, only a freshman, going to be there a while. He's not a big time NBA prospect. He's going to probably be there for a while, and I think he can put up a lot of numbers at that place and hopefully create a little bit of a box office in the meantime. And, McSwiggin will be back. Both his sons will be back. Yeah, you mentioned DeMarcus Tyson. He played for Lakeside High School up here with Tremaine Isabel, who's out in Drexel just killing everybody out there in that league. He played for that Lakeside team with a bunch of guys that went on to do some things, and he's had a nice career there, and he's finishing it out now at down there. But they have most guys back come next year, and they have some, like you said, the transfer and some big time recruits, really Portland in the mix there. So I mean, I think it's conceivable that if Gonzaga and BYU were to leave, that could really help the Portland Pilots. I think it brings teams like Portland and some of these others a little bit more of a chance to look like something when they're not constantly always just, no matter how good they are, having their star kind of drowned out by Gonzaga, and so that,
yeah,
that's kind
I,
of, I
you
think
know.
I think it would I like to see that happen truthfully for both Gonzaga's needs and for the league.
And the other thing we don't want to forget, considering I live here, one of the greatest high school players of all time went to Arizona. Damon Stoudamire had a tremendous year at Pacific.
And, yes, he did.
And, you know, probably Jim will be the next coach at Arizona if they decide not to retain Sean Miller. I think Damon is the front runner there.
Well, that'd be interesting, to say the least. And I probably won't get into that topic today, but we'll skip over that one. But
well, we would be here all day. Hey, Jim, I want to get in three things.
You and I know enough to get ourselves in a lot of trouble. Let's put it that way. So go.
Oh, we
could
get in a lot of trouble. Okay. I wanted to just get in three things before we leave today, if I might, and I'll do them real quick.
I want
a big shout out to my friend Kelly Graves at University of Oregon. Tremendous. The women's program at Oregon had a great year. A person you know, Marshall Cho, who was the office director at University of Portland from DeMatha High School, has had an unbelievable year at Lake Oswego. They're playing to get in the Final Eight tonight. And I know a lot of coaches listen to your show. I have no horse in this race, Jim. I just think he's a tremendous player that's going to get overlooked in the state of Oregon. Teron Bradford at Oregon City. Coaches better look at him. He is a tremendous basketball player. Probably could play at the Division I level. And he's going to get overlooked. He's a senior this year, and he wants to play basketball. And a tremendous football player. He was all league in the Mount Hood in offense, defense, special teams. So there you go.
Well, that's actually the last question I had for you before you have to go. I know you got to cut out of here, but I was going to say, who are some of the top players besides him as far as 2018 and 2019 kids that you're seeing down in as the state tournament is winding into high gear right now?
You know, I could better answer that question in about a month after I get done looking at it closely. I wouldn't want to slight anybody, Jim, because I don't go to – I go to high school games, but I don't – having seen today I will hit 145 in college games that I've seen start to finish live. And so I don't have as good a handle on the high school. And I wouldn't want to slight anybody, but when we talk again at the end of March, I will give you a rundown of who is good in Oregon and the 2019 class as well.
Well, that sounds really, really good. Now, I've got and we definitely will talk about that for sure without any problem. But I wanted to ask you as far as you offered a prediction on Oregon State beating the Cougars. Are you prepared to offer a prediction on the Ducks and the Huskies here shortly this afternoon or this evening?
I think I've got to say I think the Huskies should win that game and will win that game. And I want to ask you, are the Huskies going to the NCAA tournament?
You know something? If they win that game, I think they are. I really honestly think they are. I think that's the win or lose to me. And that's coming on here at 1:30 Pacific. So in less than 2 hours, we're going to start looking in a little more than 2 hours, we're going to start looking at the reality of that. I think that, you know, to be honest with you, Greg, since we're on the topic, I don't believe that the Huskies are going to beat Oregon today. So I think we have different opinions about the game itself. I think the Huskies are going to be 10-8. I think the Oregon's going to be 10-8, and I think that that UCLA is very likely going to be 10-8, and they win the tiebreaker against Washington. I think that as we look at this at the standings, you know, and such as that here in the Pac-12. I think that, you know, Arizona is going to end up 14-4. I think USC is going to end up 13-5, one game behind. I think Washington, again, 10-8. UCLA will lose to USC 10-8. I think that Utah and Colorado is a toss-up. I think Stanford and Arizona State is kind of a toss-up. But if Stanford gets beat at over at Arizona State, they'll be 10-8, and they win the tiebreaker against UW. Utah is 10-7 there with Colorado. If Colorado beats them, they'll be 10-8. They win the tiebreaker against UW. If everything that I just said happens, UW is the seven seed. So they could end up anywhere from the third to the seventh seed, depending on what happens. So it all depends on what happens. And from my standpoint, I think UW has done extremely well this year and probably deserves to go to the NCAA tournament, as do a number of teams in the Pac-12. But unfortunately, the way that the NCAA committee has been over the years has been so inconsistent, it's just hard to know how they're going to slice it. You know, I mean, there's been times like when Washington was 14-4 and didn't get in, that was ridiculous and won the regular season title outright. And then there's been other times when they've gotten, seven, eight teams or what it seems like is seven teams in. And then people complained across the country that they had too many teams, and they unfortunately didn't do all that well as far as, one through seven, but ultimately had a team in the final four. So I think they were a pretty tough league, and they always are a really tough league. So,
it's so tough being on the West Coast. I mean, an example I'll throw out just for everybody to think about in case they don't necessarily agree with that statement. Just think about every Thursday night, TNT, for years.
Yep.
I mean, for 25 years, doubleheader. If you're on the East Coast, that second game almost always is going to start at 11 o'clock. Now, how many people watch that? So that's just an example. It's 3 hours time difference. If a Pac-12 game even starts at 6 o'clock, that's 9 o'clock in the East. And
that's right.
It's just hard to get a handle on these teams, and they don't get the respect that they deserve. The coaches don't get acknowledged like they should, and it hurts them slightly in recruiting. They want to be seen.
Absolutely. Kids want to be seen. They want to be talked about in the media and all that stuff. But because of the miracle of the internet and the miracle of cable television and a variety of other broadcast media formats like what we're doing right now, it's becoming much less of an issue than it was when we were kids. Wouldn't you say, Greg?
I think that's correct. I think that's a fair statement. But I think on the other hand, it still is a big issue.
I think so too. I think there's a certain amount of an issue to it still, even now. I think it's more, and some of it's more out of just a pretense that goes way back that people think is just an unwritten law, that there's just something more important about the ACC, and there's something more important about the Big Ten, and there's something more important about the Big East, And so it just keeps on going that way. And you look at the Pac-12, you look at what's going on in the NBA and some of the top – I'm not talking about numbers of players in the league, because that's the Pac-12's really doing well in that regard too. I'm talking about numbers of players in the top 50 players in the game in a period. And there's so many superstars out of the Pac-12. It's just been unreal. The real stars are coming out of this league, and it's just amazing. And so, I mean, the thing is, we're looking at a real good time in conference history. And this is going to be a great game between Oregon and Washington today. And there's just a ton on the line, and it's good to see. It's good to see the Huskies back in the mix of it. And it's good to see the Ducks maybe not so picture perfect as they've been, but like we said earlier, look out for next year, because it's going to be a huge, huge upgrade. So, but I really appreciate you coming on the show, Greg. You're just a fountain of knowledge and a great guy, and I really appreciate the work you do, man.
Well, Jim, I respect you so much for all you do for basketball, and I know just that when you get off basketball subject, you have a big heart and you're committed to helping people, and that's what I'm all about when I'm away from sports, and I respect that totally, and thank you. And I give a little shout out to our friend today that I know is listening right now, Jim, Bob Rathbun, the great Atlanta Hawks, who our company just named this week as our Senior Vice President of Broadcasting and Digital Services. So we got a lot going on with Bob, and I know he listens every time I come on.
Well, that's really good to know, and I know that you have a lot of great friends, and I'd like to say this about you. One of the great things I admire about you, Greg, too, is your love for animals and your concern for their well-being, and I really, really appreciate that and really want to give you any support I can in that area.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We just don't take good enough care of our animals. And my other big project always is I just went through, Jim, delivering my 15,000 Meals on Wheels, 15,000 for my hospital that I work for, Adventist Medical Center in Portland. And then that was a total meal delivery in my lifetime. I'm at 53,000. So I'm proud of that.
Boy, I and as you should be, and I think that needs to be said that you know that's the kind of person you are, and basketball is really blessed to have people like you, and I think there's many, many people like you that are very good people in this game. That's what keeps me so indebted
and
to it.
And we speaking of that, a great guy that's done a fabulous job this year that probably nobody's heard of except Jim Bastnight and Greg Crawford, Mike Troutman. At Everett, they had never won the Northern Division of the, or it's been a long time, of the NWAC, the terrific 36 league junior college, community college league in Oregon, Washington, Idaho. And Mike won it this year with the Everett Trojans. Great job.
Absolutely. I played a gig there in 1980 in their gym. and I'm sure it's been even longer than that since they've had a big time, you know, basketball story to talk about. And I was extremely proud to see that myself. And thanks for bringing that up. And NWAC is another thing that's really worthwhile. I mean, there's always so many good players to watch that end up going to D1. And it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. It's probably got the best overall group of players. And hey, you know, it's kind of neat, a team that really is tough to recruit to Centralia, that they're called the Trailblazers in the NWAC. They're going to playoffs this year. And I think that's fabulous. Yeah. They made the playoffs.
Centralia.
The 16 team playoff.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely. Well, let's keep in touch on all this stuff. And you were really generous with your time this time. I really appreciate it. And I'll just wrap the show up with some local State Washington State tournament stuff.
Great,
but I really appreciate you coming on and really making this a great show as usual as
Jim,
you always do. And thank you,
Greg. I'm getting a text right now, Jim, from somebody that's listening, and they want to know why you and I will team up a blog on West Coast hoops. Maybe we will.
Well, I think we should. I really think we should. I think it'd be a good combination. I think we could both do a really good job together. And do a really good hoop show together and create some good radio, and even though it's on the internet.
You bet.
And
I tell
your friend that he's right, and it's something that it's crossed my mind a few times. I think it'd be good to really cover this whole region like you and I both can, and maybe we might even need someone who knows maybe California a little bit better. But if we can just, if you and I could do just the Northwest, that's a big. I mean, did you know that Billings, Montana, is halfway to Chicago? If you can cover everything between Billings, Montana, Salt Lake City, and Medford, Oregon, you're talking about a huge part of the United States. Like probably about 30% of it. Yeah, absolutely. I would love to do it with you, Greg.
Thank you very much, Jim, for your courtesy, respect, kindness, and the great show, and we'll keep it rolling.
You bet we will. I'll talk to you soon, Greg. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Thank you. Bye.
Greg Crawford, what a guy. What a great guy, and he does such a good job of covering basketball. You got to keep up with what he's doing if you want to know what's going on in basketball. He covers it from, you know, basically all angles from the high school, like you said. And he was big enough to say he really needs to get his research done. Cause when I asked him about the high school prospects, he prides himself on really having something to say when he does something. So here we are right now, we're looking at this state tournament. And I mean, there's just so much going on with the state tournament that, you know, I think I'm probably going to do what Greg would do and that's, you know, basically kind of punt on really the whole overall results of every individual game. Just from what's been happening so far, I mean, Eric Stevenson from Timberline set a new tournament scoring record that was broken just last year by Michael Porter Jr. You know, and he's just a tremendous player. He just is a guy can just do everything with the basketball. He's going to Wichita State, unfortunately, not even staying in the Northwest, but you know, that's good. He's from the state, and he's gonna give the state and the Northwest, I think, a lot of good karma because of the kind of talent he is and the fact that he's from here, because he will definitely go out there and show well in college basketball. He's athletic. He can shoot the ball. He can score. He can defend. He's got the whole thing going. He really does. And then, you know, obviously there's plenty more to talk about. There's the kid from Gonzaga Prep, Anton. I mean, really, really a fine shooter, Gonzaga commit. You know, just a nice, solid young player that's going to work out well in their system. And that's saying something, considering right now they're being considered for a number one seed again. And it seems like it's almost every year or two that they're in that kind of rarefied air in college basketball. I don't know that they deserve it this year. That's another story, but we'll obviously see what happens over the course of this WCC tournament that's going on right now. You know, then you've got beyond that, you know, you've got, you know, the big guns out of the Seattle area. You've got Garfield, you know, you got Rainier Beach, and they're meeting in the championship game here tonight at 7 PM. That's just as prime time basketball viewing as you're going to want to see in this entire region. I mean, pretty much Gonzaga, Oregon, the Huskies with all the drama of their season. Honestly, I got to say, this is the best team in this region for the level of basketball that it is. Maybe I'm missing somebody in D3 or something like that, but something crazy like that. But honestly, I don't think I'm exaggerating. Garfield is just, for the second year in a row, Brandon Roy has got a team that can compete in the top 10 teams in the country. And last year he won the title, according to you know, the experts. This year, with that loss to Seattle Prep, he won't be undefeated for two straight seasons with two different teams, but he very well may be a guy with one loss in 2 years with two different high school teams. That's got to be some sort of a record. And that's not all. And that's not all, because Rainier Beach is really good. I mean, they've gotten their thing completely rolling as well, and is very dangerous. And, you know, Garfield can't sleep on them at all. Honestly, I think that's going to be a really close game. This game with Eastside Catholic was very close, truthfully. You know, and that's a team that's got some talent too. But then there's a lot of them in this Seattle-Tacoma area that have talent this year. It's a very, very big year in high school basketball. But this Rainier Beach, Kevin Porter, my goodness, guy is really, really good. He's probably the best player in the state. He's going to USC. He's a magnificent basketball player. And we talked about Eric Stevenson. I think he's better. So there you go. And then there's Jerron Brooks with Garfield, who's one of the best in the state too, except he's also 6'9" and very athletic and skilled. So in the context of basketball, height has something to do with it. And so he'll be a big pickup for wherever he ends up. He's going to figure out his recruiting after this game. So I think we'll start hearing some Jerron Brooks recruiting news. I know from talking to some of the sources that I have with his stuff that Washington is definitely in the mix after he decommitted from USC, after committing to them, along with Kevin Porter in a recently short period of time they did that together. And then he got pulled out when the situation happened with Tony Bland and the FBI and the indictments. And then he went and committed to St. John's with Chris Mullen and just what's going on there. And they had a rough season, really had a very underperforming season. I don't know anything to do with it, but he decommitted from them. And so now he's back in the mix. But he just got offered by Texas Tech, as did Pierre Cockrell, the really bright and talented point guard for Garfield by Texas Tech. So there's going to be competition for Jerron Brooks, a lot of it probably, when all said and done. So I don't know if UW can get him. The word I'm hearing is that UW's in the mix there, but I'm also hearing from other people that there's going to be a lot of big players. But then again, the big players have a little trouble right now because the big players have been playing the game for the most part, I guess, with some rules that are, outside of the rule book is what we're kind of finding with this FBI investigation, as if I didn't know already. I've been reporting that for about 10 years and, I won't comment on my career, but, I've taken a lot of heat for what I've done. So I'm extremely proud of the fact that the FBI is stepping in, because I think that's the only thing, that's the reason I did a lot of what I've done, is because I felt that I love the game, I love the people in it, and I felt that the good people weren't winning, and that's not right. So, so that's starting to change, I think, with the FBI investigation. So I'm really up for the FBI and what they're trying to do, and I hope that they are successful in really turning this institutionalized cheating that's become a cottage industry. And I think, we touched on Nike today. We only touched on it for a second, as in the context of Oregon. But it's really the 800-pound gorilla in the room, Nike. And the real truth is, that's where this started, was the partnership between Sonny Vaccaro and Phil Knight in developing this, traveling AAU basketball system, which kind of provided the platform for, turning recruiting and sort of the middling of agent deals and, variety of other things that are unsavory into sort of as opposed to a disorganized industry where there was a few creeps and crooks that somehow snuck in and went unnoticed to an institution where people were afraid to speak truth to power. And the press was afraid to cover what was going on as it was going on in broad daylight. And it got to the point where the FBI became aware of it because of actual criminality, money laundering. Whatever you think about Sean Miller, you talk about Sean Miller and the $100,000. Number one, if DeAndre was paid $100,000, it was just $100,000 more than what he had already been promised to be paid, probably, to go to Arizona. But that's a whole other story. It was probably just because, we're coming up on the season, and I can go overseas if you don't pay me another $100,000. That's probably what happened. But nonetheless, $100,000. Who do you think delivers that $100,000? It's not Sean Miller. He doesn't, walk out of the athletic office there at Arizona and deliver $100,000 to DeAndre Ayton. No, it doesn't happen that way. It's cash. It's got to be something that can't be traced. There's no paper trail. In and of itself, that's illegal. But I think there's even more to it than that. There's people involved that are criminals. They're called bag men. It's a term that you'll hear if you study the mob. It's this is the kind of thing that's been going on in college basketball. It's just, and high school basketball, and this is wrong. And that's my final word. We got 10 seconds to go. I got a big day. I'm heading up to Ferndale by the Canadian border to play tonight with my band at the Silver Reef Casino. And And I want to wish everybody here to have a wonderful, wonderful basketball weekend. I hope all your teams win. Huskies have a big, big struggle on their hands, in my opinion, against Oregon, a team that they don't match up with that well. Oregon's got a big struggle going up against Washington, who are going to be playing in a very positive environment there. So that's going to be a battle. There's definitely some talent on both sides. There's definitely some coaching on both sides. It's going to be a battle, and it's going to be a big, big game going today. So luckily we'll be able to enjoy that before I have to leave up there for that big gig up in Ferndale. But I'll be watching the Garfield Rainier Beach game tonight. That's going to be another big battle, and don't be surprised if Rainier Beach wins it. I'm telling you, those teams are fighting and scrapping like nothing you've seen. So just you don't want to miss that game. So there'll be that. Obviously the Cougars and Oregon State playing for pride more than anything else. I don't know that that Oregon State has a chance at the NIT. I think that's kind of pushing it. Maybe the CBI if they want to go that route. But I think the Pac-12 unfortunately is going to end up getting screwed. I don't think they're going to put the number of teams in the NCAA tournament that they should this year. I think it'll probably be somewhere around four. Everyone's been saying three. But I know that USC and Arizona are getting in. The question is it going to be three or four? We'll just have to see what happens. You know, if one of those teams right now, of the 3 through 7 teams, wins that Pac-12 tournament, I think that obviously that team will get in. And then Arizona and USC, and you got to wonder what other team, maybe. I think UCLA is always going to be have an advantage over others because of their pedigree. It seems like the way the NCAA treats things, they always do things that way. You know, I think in Oregon also would maybe have an advantage because of their connections with a company that literally owns the sport, you know. At this point, but that could change as the FBI continues to look at what's going on. I know they've subpoenaed the EYBL phone records and records, and I think they're doing a lot to really dig and find out what's going on with, you know, with the whole sport, not just the Adidas schools that originally were named in that first set of indictments. But I think Nike's going to come under scrutiny. But Oregon, yeah, I think that they will they have a chance. If they win today against Washington and maybe win a couple of games in the tournament, I think it's going to be hard to deny that Oregon's looking good enough to get in. But they may be denied. Utah's another team that's definitely looked like they should be good enough to get in. Their strength of schedule has been the problem for a lot of people, but they've really played well. And we'll see how they do in the tournament. It all depends on that tournament, you know. Stanford, same story. They had a really bad early part of the year because of injuries. To me, they've really, you know, looked great as far as what the eye test looks like and the way that they played in conference play. If they beat Arizona State and are sitting in third place all by themselves or something like that, they're going to be hard to deny. You know, there's just a lot of interesting stories here. So we got a lot to talk about, and we're going to be talking about it next week. For Talking Hoops, this is Jim Bass Knight, and always be a good sport. Be a good sport always, as said by the great Bob Robertson. All right, folks, see you next week.